Now, what we're going to do is I will recognize our fabulous resolutions chairs, Mr. Jeff Tom and Ms. Sarah Harris. And Jeff and Sarah, as we're going through here, maybe every couple of resolutions, let's take a break for another door prize since we've got a bunch to give away. And I will leave it up to the two of you to decide when we're going to do that. It's a lot of pressure, I know, but I know you two can handle it.
I just got told that I'm the boss.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, friends. So we have 12 resolutions to make it through today, okay? And what I want to say first is hey, listen to me, please, friends in the room. Yeah, shh. All right. Okay, so what I want to say is what I have seen, and Jeff can attest to this over the last few years. Is a real motivation that we haven't seen in a long time to get things done, to make good stuff happen. I almost said the other word because that's just me. Y'all know me. And yeah, and then I remembered that I'm ACB Media, and you know, we may get fined or something. I don't know. I really, really, really want to thank everybody. And so we are going to start with number one. So Guillermo, are you back there ready to go? All right, so go ahead and play it.
Resolution 2023-01, paratransit eligibility procedures. Whereas in determining paratransit eligibility, it is the prevailing practice among California transit districts to require riders to have their eligibility recertified at stated intervals, such as every 3 or 5 years. And whereas this requirement applies even when the rider's disability is permanent and irreversible. And whereas during the recertification process, transit districts often require a physician to complete and sign a portion of the recertification application. And whereas, when a transit district is in receipt of a physician's determination that a disability is permanent and irreversible, there is no reason to have the rider's eligibility subsequently recertified. And whereas, completing the application and finding a physician to complete and sign a portion of the paratransit recertification application can be difficult and time-consuming. And whereas, obtaining a physician's services is frequently expensive, especially for low-income riders. And whereas eliminating this requirement will result in monetary savings and lessens the administrative burden for transit districts, now therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this second day of April 2023, that this organization urge and assist its chapters, affiliates, and all members to advocate with transit districts and appropriate elected officials to eliminate the requirement for recertification of paratransit eligibility for those riders whose disability is permanent and irreversible, and be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to each chapter and affiliate, and be it further resolved that this organization send a copy of this resolution to the California Association of Coordinated Transit for dissemination to each transit district.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I wanted to know. All right, friends, and I want to tell everybody that this one was introduced by the one, the only Miss Margie Donovan. And you know, and I think that we can all hopefully all agree in the room that yes, this is a pain in the butt. And so I would like to go ahead and just let's get it out of the way. Let's get a motion and a second on the floor, and then we'll roll
We don't necessarily need a motion a second. How does the committee recommend?
Oh, yes. Thank you. It's been a while. Yeah, we've
Right,
been a due
right.
pass.
Okay, so committee recommends a do pass since it's a committee recommendation.
All right.
Then we don't necessarily need a second. So we have the motion on the floor now.
All right. So if there's anybody in opposition on Zoom or in the room, those in the room stand up. Those on Zoom, raise your hand. Yeah, if you're in the room, you can raise your hand too if you're tired. It's okay. We have a question. All right. While we're raising hands, let's answer a question.
This is David. I think the resolution is great, but I have a couple of comments that I'm concerned about. I think that if a person is congenitally blind or has been blind or disabled for many years, I don't think one should have to go to the doctor at all I think one should be able to go to a social worker, a rehab counselor, and I don't see this in the resolution. I pointed that out during our committee meeting, and my point was ignored. So I think there needs to be some clarification here. But other than that, I think this is really a great result.
And to your point, David, I totally get what you're saying, and I think we got to start where we can start.
Hi, this is Margie, and I have been unmuted. Hi, I'd like to address David's question. David did bring that up at resolutions, and we suggested that be a separate resolution. That wasn't part of my original intent. And so, David, I invite you next year to write a resolution on that one. Thank you.
So apparently resolution number 1, 2024-1 is also going to be on
paratransit certification. All right. So, Chanel, do we have any hands raised in the room in opposition on Zoom?
We do not. We just had Margie with her point before I had a chance to introduce her, but we have not had any other hands.
well, Chanel, it's Margie, you know. We love you, Margie.
We love you, Margie.
And the author of the resolution gets to have.
Yes, that's for sure.
I'm sorry. I just wanted. Yeah.
All right. So, Sarah, do we have any hands or people standing in the room?
There are no people standing or no hands in the room.
All right, then we are going to declare this one passed. Woohoo! Yay. All right, we have a point of inquiry from Frank, I believe. Can somebody take him a mic?
That reader is really good. Who is it?
Oh, so that is AI. Guillermo, you want to tell everybody? Yes.
That's a synthetic voice.
Okay.
I think it's TalkGPT. All right, can we get a mic ran back to the
mic to Guillermo?
Cool.
Hey, everybody. So with all of this advent of AI, this was voice AI from a service called 11 Labs, and the voice is Adam. If you want more information, you can always go to 11labs.io and play around.
And we have a hand in Zoom.
It's 11 spelled out.
All right.
So thank you, Adam, for your beautiful voice.
And we have a hand in Zoom. Sheila Gunn Cushman.
This is just a fun little comment. I swear if it was changed just a little bit, you could have a passable Paul Freeze. That's all.
Yes. And so Chanel, we're gonna not take the extra hands in between things. All right, so we're gonna move on to number two, and this one is Guillermo, play it, and then I'll remember who wrote it. Hey. Hey, I'm honest, guys. You guys know this about me. If I'm just, you know.
Resolution 2023-02, vending facility equipment. Whereas historically, Randolph Shepherd vendors have not had to pay for facility equipment used to operate the facility, such as appliances, cash registers, and card readers. And whereas instead, states purchase equipment using federal funds, along with matching funds from various sources. And whereas in some states, including California, required match for the purchase of equipment is obtained through funds collected from BEP vendors by state licensing agencies, with these funds being known as set-aside funds. And whereas the Federal Rehabilitation Services Administration, as part of the U.S. Department of Education, and the Office of Management and Budget initially approved a regulatory requirement, which limited the state's ability to purchase BEP equipment to purchases of at least $5,000. And whereas the result of this decision was to require a BEP vendor to make purchases of equipment under $5,000. And whereas, in light of the pandemic, these federal entities revised this requirement by reducing the threshold which must be met before the state may purchase equipment from $5,000 to $1,000. And whereas, due to such vendor equipment expenses for the facility, and in light of shrinking BEP facility income, due to fewer patrons working in these facilities since the onset of the pandemic, The $1,000 maximum remains a burdensome cost when a vendor must purchase such equipment as coffee makers, cash registers, card readers, and microwave ovens that are below the required $1,000. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind, in hybrid convention assembled this second day of April, 2023. But this organization urged the Federal Rehabilitation Services Administration and the Office of Management and Budget to eliminate the prohibition against a state using federal and matching funds for the purchase of equipment valued at less than $1,000, and be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to the American Council of the Blind for action at its 2023 National Convention.
All right. And thank you, Adam. And thank you, Guillermo. And that and the committee recommends that you pass. This was presented to us by Joe Smith, my fellow Blind Advisory Committee member. Do we have Joe Smith here in the room or on Zoom? Chanel, if you're there, Joe, go ahead and raise your hand.
And yes, he is, or is a phone number. So hopefully that is Joe. You may unmute, ending 405.
Hi, Dirk Neifert. I think with inflation, we should be asking for $10,000, not $5,000. The original, we don't have a date on the original $5,000, but I'm sure it was a decade ago or more.
Yeah.
And we have Joe Smith now.
Oh, cool. And real quick, Dirk, so it's already at $1,000 and we want to eliminate it completely.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can.
Yeah. Yeah. This came up at the last Blind Advisory Committee, and being an old retired vendor and worked in the BP program for several years, this is a change from the federal government, and I just felt we needed to do something to try to there's been a long time that the department, the feds have kind of treated the BP programs like a stepchild, and I think that we really need to stand up to this and see what we can do to help the vendors.
Thank you, Joe. And so I'm going to take Joe as my first in favor. Do we have anybody opposed? If you are opposed in the room, please raise your hand. If you're opposed on Zoom, raise your hand. No hands in Zoom. Do we have any hands in the room?
Yes, we have a hand in the room.
Can we get a mic to our hand in the room?
Yes, there's one. She has one. Artist.
Oh, artist is in favor. We needed to know if we had any opposition.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. Well, hearing no opposition, we are going to declare this resolution passed. Woohoo! And congratulations, Joe Smith. Woohoo!
Thank you.
Resolution 2023-03, funding of AIRA or similar.
Okay, so we're trying to work this rule in hybrid, guys. So just so you know, so we're gonna finish here a little bit. Gonna go step back, rewind. All right, so if there's anybody in the room or on Zoom that is opposed to this resolution, this is number 2 for the vendors. Let's raise your hand either in the room or in Zoom. Let's see if anybody is opposed. We need to see if we get 10 folks.
There are no hands in Zoom.
No hands in Zoom. Hold on. Do we have any hands in the room? No hands in the room. No hands on Zoom. All right. So back to my original. We are going to declare this one passed. And
I can't hear you. Yes.
And Guillermo, we're going to take a little break and do some door prizes real quick if Madam Eyeballs over here is ready. Oh, she just stepped away. Never mind. So Oh, she's coming back.
That's AI.
That's AI. This is Lisa in the cult jam. All right, Madam Eyeballs, you got a couple of door prizes for us, please?
Little out of breath, I just ran and I don't run. Okay.
So $25 Amazon gift card given by the Bayview chapter. And the winner is, I believe she is still the Bayview chapter president, Patty Nash.
Congratulations,
Eric,
Patty.
Do you want to take it back to you? Want us to send it?
Eric.
Okay. You can take it to Eric. Thanks, Eric. Okay, now let's do a CCB sweatshirt, a Canes Across California t-shirt, and a Bluetooth speaker. Diane Harms. Are you here, Diane? No, Diane?
She may be listening in the right
room. Are you on Zoom, Diane?
Yeah, she's heard the image, but she may be
listening okay.
In the room.
Okay. We'll get it to her somehow. Okay. Now, let's do another sweatshirt, t-shirt, Bluetooth speaker. Diane Deutsch. Congratulations. I'll have someone bring it to you right now, Diane.
The Dianes are the winners.
This time, let's do... How about a $25 gift card from Target? That's you? That's you? And this one is going to be from the San Francisco chapter. Erin Espinoza.
Erin.
You hear Erin? I think he went home already.
Okay. All right.
Erin. No, he's not here.
So.
Shake. Okay.
We can't shake the computer. All right, so we're actually going to go back to our regularly scheduled resolutions. So Guillermo, my maestro back there, are you ready?
Yep.
All right.
Resolution 2023-03, funding of AIRA or similar services. Whereas choosing community-based living and self-determined lives is a freedom that is valued by Californians who are blind or have low vision. And whereas access to everyday visual information is by far one of the most challenging barrier to true independence and quality of life for people who are blind or have low vision. And whereas technological advancements have brought about new visual interpretation services, such as AIRA, a fee-based service using highly trained paid agents for customers who are blind or have low vision. And whereas these agents, through access to a customer's computer or smartphone camera, and to digital content through remote access to assist with, among other things, reading mail and other printed materials, self-administration and reading results of at-home medical tests, computer access concerns interpreting inaccessible digital content, and identifying landmarks and signs when traveling. And whereas the state of California has a long history of providing programs and services that enhance opportunities for people with vision loss to enjoy independent and productive lives. And whereas, as an example, the state funds NFB Newsline, an accessible reading service. And whereas, the Deaf and Disabled Telecommunications Program, DDTP, which is administered by the California Public Utilities Commission, CPUC, provides an array of telecommunications devices and services to people with disabilities, including various specialized phones, the California Video Relay Service, VRS, for people who are deaf or hard of hearing, and the Voice Options Program, which provides people with speech disabilities with communication devices. And whereas AIRA, like the VRS, makes the world a far more accessible place. And whereas the cost of AIRA is often unaffordable for low and middle income Californians with vision loss, including the dramatically increasing number of older adults. And whereas a number of states cover the cost of AIRA services for their residents, now therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in hybrid convention assembled this second day of April, 2023, that this organization seek legislation to expand the DDTP to include coverage for AIRA services or a similar service using highly trained paid agents for Californians with vision loss, and be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to the American Council of the Blind for action at its 2023 National Convention for the purpose of urging other states to seek funding for AIRA or a similar service. Introduced by Robert Acosta.
You know, maybe that's what we need to do on the end of all these resolutions is make sure we put that at the end. So I would like to say that the committee has recommended a do pass, but I'd like to bring up Bob Acosta to speak in favor. And then if anybody's in opposition, get ready.
For once, I'll be brief, ladies and gentlemen. Ira, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. IRA's rates are going up, and we say other services. We don't pin it down to just IRA, but the world of visual interpretation is with us. Now, our deaf friends have got the lead on us, captioning, and I'm glad when I pay my taxes to help them. That's terrific. And we need the similar chance to be on a level playing field as much as possible with our sighted colleagues. And I want to thank Jeff Tom for his invaluable assistance here. And I want to finally say, Colorado has offered it in their state buildings, but state buildings are disappearing, but it's still a step. Connecticut has had it. I did a little research, has had it, but it's going to end in April. The director of rehab there got it and they're losing it. And Alabama, the schools for the blind pay for it. We're not asking for that. We're asking, let's study it. Let's see if we can do something. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. All right. So do we have anybody in opposition of IRA or other types of services similar to IRA being provided to us? If there's anybody that's opposed, please raise your hand in Zoom or in the room. I have Joe Green or Jose Verde up here singing, and he keeps making me giggle.
We have Margie.
All right, so we have Margie. Do we have any opposition in the room? Anybody with their hand raised? No hands raised. Thank you, sweetheart. All right, let's go ahead and hear from Margie.
Okay, she's introduced me so I can speak. I'm so sorry, Janelle.
Oh, no, that's okay.
I want to hear something that was read following the word dramatic.
Oh, dramatically increasing. I'm pretty positive that's what that is. Right,
dramatically there. Increasing seniors is what I heard.
I believe it's older adults, I think.
Well,
is what
can we rehear that? Come on, Sarah, you can do it. I know you can.
I don't have it. Jeff's got it.
Good morning, Sarah, Jeff.
It's the dramatically increasing number of older adults.
Okay, thank you. I misheard it. I didn't hear the word number. I thought we were talking about us being dramatic. Thank you.
Well, you know, Margie, you know what happens.
Sarah, it is Sunday. Don't forget. Sunday, just be nice to Margie Day.
I love you, Margie. You know it.
I do. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay, so now that we know that Margie was not opposed, which is good, let's see. Is there anything? So let's say that if we get folks that are opposed now that don't want to talk, but want to raise their hand and say, no, we don't want this. Go ahead and raise your hand in the room and in Zoom. There you go. In the room and in the Zoom. La, 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 la. And no, you know what it is this is our it's going to be our next convention theme. Yeah, exactly. All right, Chanel, my friend, do we have any hands? No hands in the room. How about on Zoom?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, I was talking. No hands in Zoom.
Ah, so I declare Ira for all. No.
And before we go to the next resolution, I just want to say that at an event at the Lighthouse a couple of weeks ago, the Ira CEO was there. And so I was actually able to meet him and started some of the discussions regarding the topics brought up in this resolution. So we're already getting a head jump on it.
Thank you, Gabe. All right. So number 4 was withdrawn. So we don't even have to go there. It was submitted by the CCBS, the California Council of Blind Students. They did withdraw it because there is a similar resolution that was already put forth last year to ACB. So Guillermo, my friend, are you ready? Maybe, he says. All right. So play number 5.
Resolution 2023-05, Aggregate Data Awareness. Author, Inclusive Diversity of California. Whereas, collection of aggregate demographic data concerning membership of nonprofit agencies has become increasingly necessary for writing grants and receiving sponsorships and donations. And whereas, the American Council of the Blind, ACB, parent organization of the California Council of the Blind, CCB, has requested this information from all its state and special interest affiliates based on research and member consultation. And whereas CCB has only been able to collect a fraction of this data from its chapters and affiliates, and whereas Inclusive Diversity of California, IDC, partners with CCB to increase membership from all marginalized and underrepresented communities, and whereas IDC partners with CCB to create opportunities to nurture ambassadors to bring the mission and vision of CCB to these communities. And whereas, as part of the statewide effort of CCB in this matter, IDC and other chapters and affiliates need to know which marginalized communities are underrepresented to refine their recruitment efforts. And whereas, the latest statistics on vision loss cited by the American Council of the Blind demonstrate the fastest growing populations experiencing vision loss are African American or Black and Latino or Latinx. And whereas enhancing the inclusion of marginalized and underrepresented communities into CCB's advocacy work will provide more opportunities to collaborate with other like-minded organizations, thus increasing its influence. And whereas CCB members from all backgrounds have demonstrated their commitment to growing, supporting and improving this organization, now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in hybrid convention assembled this second day of April 2023, that the board of directors of this organization, in consultation with IDC and other committees appointed by the CCB president, be directed to develop and implement a plan to educate CCB members through community calls, articles in the Blind Californian, and incentive campaigns to voluntarily provide this demographic information. And be it further resolved that the advocacy efforts of this organization intentionally take into consideration the specific issues faced by marginalized racial and ethnic communities with vision loss, providing clear communication of these efforts to CCB members. And be it further resolved that, when it is feasible, Board of Directors and other leaders in CCB regularly update the members on the benefits received from using this data, including but not limited to the receipt of grants, donations, or sponsorships.
All right. All right. So thank you. That is from Inclusive Diversity of California, as Adam did say. And I will say that the committee obviously recommends a do pass. And I'm wondering, would Joe Green speak in favor? Yeah. Okay. So somebody can get Joe a mic. That'd be awesome. Joe, raise your hand.
Well, while it is extremely important.
Eat your mic a little bit. Just eat it. Just eat it.
Yeah, another song. As a lot of grants, as the resolution says, a lot of grants, a lot of funding is comes from the aggregate of data. I think this is extremely important. How do we identify a marginalized group if we don't even know what percentage it is? Now, granted, we're not asking for personal data as far as every individual, just to take in an aggregate. So, and we, I think this will increase our awareness of what marginalized groups are. Also, it would increase so we can apply for more grants and likewise.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you. And so with keeping with debate, do we have anyone that would like to speak in opposition, either in the room or on Zoom? Go ahead and raise your hand. Is that Lisa Cushman? If somebody could take Lisa a mic, please.
Thank you. Is it at all possible that the LGBT community could also be included in this resolution? It was? I didn't hear it. Okay, because they specifically made reference to racial and ethnic, but the LGBT community was not, you know, specifically referenced.
May I speak to that, Manager?
Yeah, thank you, Regina.
Okay, so that was in reference to one study done by ACB, and that is what they found out. So they did not find out this was a study. It wasn't where the resolution, it was in the whereas clauses. And all it said was that that's the fastest growing groups right now of people experiencing vision loss. That's just, it's a fact. They didn't, in the study, they did not find that the LGBTQ plus or Native Americans, for instance, although I think it's true, they couldn't document that. And so that was their study. It wasn't ours. And it's just data cited. It's not in the resolves where the resolution actually is going to be targeted.
Okay, so it's part of the it's part of the resolution. Then that's great. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Definitely all marked.
Thank you, Lisa.
And can I say one more thing?
Real quick.
Very quick. This is what I want to change. When I came looking for my husband, they said, I don't know what your husband looks like. And I said, well, he's an African American. And they said, oh, I see him. That should not happen. There should be too many African Americans to tell which one's my husband. There you go.
Amen.
Work.
Amen. All right. So. Hey, you know what? If you want to tell me you look like Denzel, I will believe you look like Denzel.
Looks like him to me.
Yeah, you look like him to Gabe too. All right. So is there anybody else in opposition, like actual opposition, that wants to speak? Going once, going twice. Chanel, we got anybody on Zoom with their hand raised?
We do not.
All right. So again, we're going to do this just one more time. If there's anybody that is opposed to this resolution being passed, either in the room or on Zoom, go ahead and raise your hand. Do, 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 do. I hear Kevin back there laughing, I think. All right. Do we have somebody?
No, not on Zoom.
How about in the room? No hands in the room, no hands on Zoom. I declare that this resolution be passed. Boom, boom, boom. All right. Do we have Miss Madam Eyeballs in the room? All right. And for those of you who do not know that, you know, she's the Madam Money Lady. She's the Madam Eyeballs, but she's really my Madam Eyeballs because I'm like, hey, yo, you. So we're gonna have Lisa give us a couple of door prizes here real quick.
She only loans me out to special people.
Okay.
$5 surcharge when she's loaned.
$25 Starbucks gift card donated or given by CCB. Natalie Castellano.
Okay.
Natalie, are you here? Okay, we will get that one to you. So I've been instructed to change the music. Let me be like Joe Green. So at a request, I've been asked to change the music to a different song. So is that how you do your DJ, Joe Green? Oh. So let's see, how about, I'm just going to pick one randomly here. Okay, let's see what this one is. And I don't think I said what we were giving away, huh? I didn't.
We're giving away games.
We're just giving away stuff. We just don't know. So, given by Bayview Chapter, the winner is another one of my fellow Fresno members, Shanir Derrick.
For those of you who don't know, Mr. Shanir Derrick is my best friend, but he's not here.
I was just
see, we think alike.
So, Shanir, if you're on Zoom, I will give it to your best friend. I hope she doesn't spend it.
And maybe I'll give it to you. Maybe I won't. Dun, dun, dun.
It's Applebee's.
Oh, and look at, no, Jamie's going to grab it. You better watch out, Shanir.
Can you take it up,
Sarah? Oh, she said Shanir who?
Yeah.
Is she listening? Does he have any
problems? And just because I have the mic, I'm going to tell everybody, Shanir actually goes by Batman. All right. So.
Another one?
Another one, and then we're going to move on.
Okay. Let's see what this music is. So this one is for a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, and no, a $10 Starbucks gift card. And the winner is Andy Baracco. Is Andy here? He's at home. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think
Andy, if you're on Zoom, we will ensure to get that one to you.
This is Cecily. I would like to thank Chanel for hosting and welcome Allison Smitherman. It's a few minutes before the time for the switch, but now seems like a good time for the switch, if that's okay.
Oh, yes, absolutely, Cecily. Thank you. Thank you, Chanel.
Thanks, Chanel.
Yay.
Thank you. And Allison, you are host.
Hey, thank
All
you,
right,
Chanel.
Thank you. Allison. And welcome back, Allison.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So, Mr. Robles, are you ready? Huh? Woo-hoo? He's like, who's that? That's my dad.
Resolution 2023-06 CCB Scholarship Committee Award Requirements. Author, California Council of Blind Students, CCBS. Whereas the California Council of the Blind, CCB, annually awards generous scholarships to students who are blind or have low vision. And whereas the CCB Scholarship Committee currently does not have requirements to participate in CCB activities, including the annual conference and convention. Whereas these scholarship awardees may never be exposed to the CCB mission, vision, and values in action. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in hybrid convention assembled this second day of April, 2023. The CCB Scholarship Committee be directed to develop a set of reasonable requirements for scholarship winners to ensure that they will be exposed to the CCB and its mission, vision, and values. And be it further resolved, these requirements be submitted and presented to the CCB Board of Directors no later than October 1st, 2023.
All right. And again, thank you, Adam. Adam is he's such a good reader. My goodness. Yeah, it's like, wow. All right. You did. You trained him super well. Good job, Guillermo. All right. So I don't believe we have Aaron Espinoza here, the president of the Blind Students. So I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody that we do recommend a do pass. So with that being said, is there anyone who would like to debate and speak in opposition of this?
Yes, Christy Crespin.
All right. We have Christy Crespin in the room.
I have a couple of problems with this resolution. I like the intent. But how are you going to require someone to participate after you've already given them the award? Number one. And number two, who's going to be creating these requirements? Yes. Is it a committee responsibility to bring it to the board? Does the board create it? I like the intent. I just don't think this resolution.
So I'm willing to respond to your concerns as the co-chair.
You're moving to what? Committee.
We're the students. Okay. The committee. And we're all very cognizant of these concerns. And we will make sure, and I wear my board member's hat for this one, we'll make sure that none of these requirements impose hardships on students that can't be met. Our goal is to somehow make sure that they are exposed to the organization, not to put hardships upon, you know, students who don't have sufficient resources to meet them. So rest assured that these requirements will be fair and balanced and meet everyone's needs.
And Jeff, the other thing that I'm concerned about is I know NFB pays the way for scholarship recipients to attend conventions. And if we're going to require it, then I believe we need to require that CCB pay for the awardees conventions attendance.
We fully understand that. That's what I said. We're not going to impose requirements that will infringe upon their inability to meet to spend the resources they don't have. So we fully get that.
And if I may too, we being CCB, and the other part is, you know, we can either find ways and find money to bring them physically to a convention, or they can participate over Zoom since we're doing hybrid conventions. So, and to the other part of your question, Christy, I envision the folks coming up with these requirements as being kind of a conglomeration of the students, you know, representatives from the students, from the scholarship committee, and from the board, so that we can have, you know, a group come up with things that would work, and as Jeff said, would not place hardships on those applying. And then these, you know, the requirements as far as your question of how would we impose them after awarding scholarships, you know, that would be listed as part of the requirements in, you know, in the application. So but you know, those details would be figured out and brought to the board next fall, or no later than next fall, as the resolution says.
Madam Chair.
Oh, who is that?
This Regina. If Aaron Espinoza is not here on Zoom, I did help him write the resolution, and I think I could speak on his behalf.
Hold that for 1 second, Regina. Thank you for that. So real quick, Christy, I'd like to clarify something. So the resolve of this resolution is that the scholarship committee will come up with these requirements and recommend things to the board. So it's not even imposing anything essentially up front. Do we need to hear it again? I think it's short enough that we could play it again. Christy, would you like to hear it again? Okay. Guillermo, can you play it one more time, please?
Resolution 2023-06 CCB Scholarship Committee Award Requirements. Author, California Council of Blind Students, CCBS. Whereas the California Council of the Blind, CCB, annually awards generous scholarships to students who are blind or have low vision. And whereas the CCB Scholarship Committee currently does not have requirements to participate in CCB activities, including the annual conference and convention. And whereas these scholarship awardees may never be exposed to the CCB mission, vision, and values in action. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in hybrid convention assembled this second day of April, 2023. The CCB Scholarship Committee be directed to develop a set of reasonable requirements for scholarship winners to ensure that they will be exposed to the CCB and its mission, vision, and values. And be it further resolved that these requirements be submitted and presented to the CCB Board of Directors no later than October 1st, 2023.
Let me just say one other thing. If the committee, scholarship committee, or the board wanted to impose onerous requirements, they clearly have had the power to do this already. So this is really only trying to impose reasonable requirements, and that's in the resolution. So, you know, I can't say it any other way, but I don't think you have any fears of a problem occurring.
Thank you, Manchester. And you know, the other thing is, too, is when we think of reasonable requirements, the thing is we want them to be exposed to CCB, to the blindness movement, and really, you know, getting folks involved, right? And so it could be that they get to choose between they go to a convention, maybe they get a CCB mentor. I would be happy to do that. I'm raising my hand right now and volunteering if we had a student that needed a mentor. I would do that. And it's, you know, it doesn't have to be one thing and a one size fits all. And so, Christy, does that help? Okay, awesome. So with that being said, is there anybody that's opposed to this?
Madam Chair?
Yes?
This is Allison in Zoom. I just wanted to let you know we had three raised hands and now we have one. So I'm not sure how that.
Yeah, so works. We can go ahead and unmute that person and see. Yes, we're in debate. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Linda, you may unmute and talk.
Hello, everyone.
Oh,
this is your old friend, Linda Porrell, who used to be a member of this fine committee. And I do have to tell you that I am shocked and distressed that this resolution makes no reference to the previous strategy that we used for bringing students to convention. We used to pay for one night for a student and for a banquet ticket for that student. And that went by the wayside during COVID and during our financial stress for the last several years. But I'm absolutely amazed that nobody in the committee room remembered that this was already a practice that we had. And I'm in full favor of resuming practice, and that ACB successfully brings most of its students to the convention in the summertime by paying for them to come. They allow for special internships or other things that a few students get to, you know, decline their invitation. There's a strong encouragement for them to attend. So whatever you guys put together going forward, it should be a strong encouragement for them to attend. Thank you.
Linda, you raised an important point. And of course, as the president who administered all that, I obviously was aware of that. The committee discussed it. And that's why because we're in a different situation now, and we may be in a different situation 2 years from now than we are today, the committee wanted to keep it a little bit flexible, because I don't think we're in a position now to authorize those kind of payments, and therefore we're probably not in a position to in any way require anybody to come to the convention yet. But whether that will change in a few years, you know, we don't know. So I that's really why we didn't want to be any more prescriptive in this resolution, because we wanted to hopefully, you know, that can be revisited and renewed, because I totally agree with you. That's what we ought to be doing.
Well, I consider this without some clear idea of how that's going to be, you know, delegated going forward, even in this coming year. It seems kind of aspirational at this point, and maybe that's okay.
I like aspirational, you know, it, because we do need to breathe new life into each other.
Well, I don't know how Christy felt, but as member of the scholarship committee for many years, I felt scolded by these students for, you know, that when we were actually doing something reasonable in the past. So thank you. I will be quiet now.
We love you, Linda. Everybody say, yay, Linda.
Yay, Linda.
All right. All right. So we had somebody opposed. So we should have somebody speak in favor. And Regina said she wanted to do that. Well, Linda spoke in opposition. If you guys say she did, and she kind of did and kind of didn't, right? So then shall we just move on to the...
Ed, I have a comment.
Who is that?
Ed Crespin, I have a comment.
Oh, hey, Ed.
Because I do have consumers who are on my caseload who did get the scholarships, and I do encourage my consumers to attend the CCB or the NFB. If they receive a scholarship, it's very difficult to really, I don't want to use the word force, but sometimes they just want or require, sometimes they just don't want to be involved. And it's, I could talk to them blue to my face, and they're busy going through school. So I'm kind of concerned about the required, maybe encourage.
And so at this point, it's just that the scholarship committee will bring forth some recommendations for requirements, and the recommendations could be that they're going to strongly encourage or strongly urge. So I want to make that really, really clear. We wrote this that way on purpose.
May I speak?
I have the mic, and sorry. I would like to yield my time to Regina.
But she has a mic too. Well, yeah.
Yes, yes. Regina wants to speak in favor. Let's hear Regina now.
Okay, so I have gone through this process with four children very recently and at different times. And one of the things that organizations do is require, before you receive your scholarship, that you attend a meeting to understand about the organization, or you do something. And these students know this, that wrote this resolution, that most organizations, most, require before they release the check to you that you do something, write an essay. There's all kinds of requirements, and students know this. And what the blind students want to do is be on par with the current scholarship process. And we need to do that, because it does make a difference. And it doesn't mean that they're going to join our organization. It does not mean that. It just means that they're exposed to the values of the organization. And of course, the students don't want it to be on a hardship. They had more specific language and yielded to the committee, because the committee wanted to leave it open and allow it to be a process that went through the scholarship committee. And the scholarship committee is the first place that this will be developed. And so there's a lot of ways that this could be done, and that was purposeful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hold on. Is it a comment or a debate?
About what
Actually, right now we're in debate. So do we have
some... It's a point of clarification.
Okay, then that's a different story.
Okay, so we already do, as a part of people who are awarded, they already have a mandatory meeting that they need to attend. And if they don't attend, then we, you know, try to work on something else. But really, most of them do attend this, what we call a mandatory meeting.
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and say, though, that I think that we're getting too into the weeds here. I believe that this is really, it's looking at how we, going forward, should administer scholarships and how we as an organization can do a better job of exposing people to CCB. All right, I hear a call for the question.
Madam Chair.
If there are any people, what was that, Allison?
Sorry to interrupt, but we currently have three raised hands in Zoom whenever you'd like to recognize.
Yeah, Steve, have you been keeping time? It's okay. It's okay. I think we're at about five more. I think we have, I think we have about five.
So well, I think we're in opposition.
All right. So we're at five more minutes. We're in opposition. So if anybody on Zoom is in opposition, go ahead and raise your hand to speak.
Okay. Well, they're already raised. Don't
yep. So let's see who it is.
Okay. First up is Sheila Gunn-Cushman. You may unmute.
Hey, Allison, I haven't been on karaoke in a while. I miss you.
Hey, Sheila, are you in favor or opposed?
I have a question of clarification.
We're currently in debate. What's your clarification?
Well, it seems to me that one of the possibilities for requirement could be that they just attend three
I'm gonna stop you there, Sheila, because literally there's no requirements that are put forth in this resolution.
No, but what I meant is if you made them, one thing could be they could just do it locally and not
all
be
all right.
Yeah. Okay.
Point of order. Okay. Lots of point of orders in the room. All right. So anybody in opposition of this resolution that wants to speak in opposition, we're in debate.
We have Robert Acosta with his hand raised in Zoom.
All right, Bob.
I think I'm on. They told me to speak. Bob Acosta here.
Yeah. Bob, are you in favor?
Well, I'm going to get to that. Are we not under suspension and can we give scholarships now?
This is for planning for the future, Bob.
So the answer is no, correct? We don't give them now. And I'm going to vote for it because it'll give people a chance to develop requirements. And I hope the board will not only have a meeting, but I hope they'll run it by the membership. Scholarships are great. And finally, in the old days, which everybody's, oh God, here he goes again, we required people to attend a chapter meeting, not a Zoom meeting, just a chapter meeting, and get a letter. And if they didn't, some still got it because they're grad students, they had seminars or a lot, but we required a chapter letter. And that gets some membership involved. Thank you very much. I'm going to vote
for it. Thank you, Bob. All right. We can't. It's rules. We still got about two-ish minutes. All right. So we can... I haven't heard anybody totally opposed here. Do we have?
We have one more raised hand. Margie.
It's Margie.
Margie, are you for or against?
I rise to speak in favor of this wonderful resolution.
Okay, then we're looking for somebody in opposition.
Okay.
So hold your
I'll
horses.
Hold my mouth.
All right. So anybody in the room wanting to speak in opposition to this?
This is Lisa. I'm concerned that if they don't fulfill the requirements and they had to give the money back, what if there was a real financial need?
Again, stepping backwards.
Okay.
There are no requirements in this resolution. This resolution is calling for the scholarship committee to sit down and bring forth requirements. So later on, when we bring those, when those get brought forth to the board, that'll be the meeting where you're going to come and speak in opposition. Amen. All right. So
says amen.
Sure. How much time we got left back there, Steve?
I'd say about a five.
And Stephanie's telling me it's been 25 minutes. Awesome. All right. Okay, so then I'm going to go ahead and call for the question. So all right. So if you are opposed to this resolution, if you're in Zoom, you're going to raise your hand. If you're in the room, you're going to raise your hand. Are there any hands in Zoom?
We have two raised hands in Zoom. We have
two raised hands in Zoom?
Yes.
Any in the room? One in the room? All right. All right. I therefore declare it passed. Woo-hoo.
Resolution 2023-07 ride sharing submitted by Guillermo Robles and Steve Bauer. Whereas on-demand transportation services such as Lyft and Uber have revolutionized the way in which people travel. And whereas these services have made it possible to foster growth in our economy. And whereas these services have had an extremely positive impact on the capacity of people who are blind or have low vision across the country to travel independently. And whereas the use of these services requires effective, direct, and clear communication between driver and passenger. And whereas a passenger who is blind or has low vision is negatively impacted by language barriers and absence of verbal communication. And whereas the lack of effective, direct, and clear communication has resulted in the following. 1. Unmet requests for a driver to communicate verbally to the passenger of their presence and identify their location. 2. Failure of a driver to follow passenger instructions. 3. Passengers being dropped off in incorrect and often unsafe locations. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the California Council of the Blind, in hybrid convention assembled this second day of April 2023, that this organization seek to enter into discussion with said service providers, seek changes in the platform to allow for passengers who are blind or have low vision to communicate their preferred language, to ensure that drivers who may take their requests are limited to those who speak their preferred language. Be it further resolved, this organization submit a copy of this resolution to the American Council of the Blind for action at its 2023 convention.
All right. Thank you, Adam. I liked how Adam said Uber. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that the committee recommends a do pass. And Steve, if you could hit the timer for 20 minutes just to be safe. Let's do it. And then I'm assuming, Guillermo, you want to speak in favor?
I
know what happens when we assume.
I do want to speak in favor. I think that most of us who live in metropolitan areas where these services are offered, I can safely assume that we all have these issues. And it's not enough that... we're having to deal with the accessibility of apps more often than not, but this is, to me, by far the biggest barrier because we do have people, we're in a melting pot of different ethnicities, different culture, and I think we need to find a way to address these issues. So I'm in full support of this, and it's something that's been on my mind for a while.
Thank you, Guillermo. All right, so next up, is there anyone that wants to speak in opposition? Again, only raise your hand if you're in opposition. And Allison, let me know if we have anybody on Zoom.
Okay, we have a raised hand in Zoom.
All right, we're going to take the Zoom person first.
Okay, telephone number... 405, go ahead.
Oh, Dirk, I heard that in opposition of saying anything friendly about Zoom or Lyft. They are both criminal organizations denying their workers the Social Security, workmen's compensation, paid vacations, seniority. These are not things that should be supported, but we do recall that money talks. This organization persuaded the voters of California to declare the drivers of those companies to be independent contractors and not employees. Anyway, that's my two bets. I don't want to say anything kind about either Uber or Lyft. Thanks.
Okay, so Dirk, you're that was more of a comment saying don't use Uber or Lyft. Just for clarification.
I'm trying. The first two whereas says kind things about Uber and Lyft, and
you're opposed to the kind things.
Yes.
I see. Thank you, Dirk. All right. Do we have anyone else that wants to speak in favor now? In favor. Any hands in Zoom or in the room?
No more raised hands. Oh, wait, we have another one. Sorry. This is telephone number 788. You may unmute.
I believe that is Earl Robb.
Good morning, Earl.
Earl.
Yes, I strongly support this. I personally was dropped off in a public park nowhere near my destination by a driver who did not speak one single word of English.
Thank you, Earl. And I think a lot of us have been dropped off in weird spots. All right. So now,
at a park at night.
Oh.
And were it not for my having an app on the phone to guide me to where I was going, I was like across the street and half a block away.
Oh, gosh. So, thank you for sharing your story with us, Earl. All right.
Okay,
all right, so we got to move on to, do I have anybody else that would like to speak in opposition?
We do have a couple more hands in Zoom right now, Madam Chair.
Let's hold on. So if we could lower them and only have them raise if they're in opposition. Do I have anybody in the room in opposition?
All right.
The real room. Anybody in the real room, my friendly volunteer?
No.
I'm sorry? No comments for opposition. Do we have anybody in opposition on Zoom that would like to speak in opposition?
Okay, I'm seeing one raised hand so far.
All right, let's go ahead and raise that hand. Let's go and let that person speak. I'm sorry, Allison.
Well, no problem. 788 again.
Oh, he already spoke. He was in favor. So thank you, Earl. All right, so I'm going to declare that debate be closed. And let's go ahead and say, if we have anybody opposed to the resolution in Zoom or in the room, raise your hand.
Good afternoon, this is Donna Pomerantz.
Oh, so Donna, are you speaking in opposition?
Well, I'd like to ask for a point of order, because I'm in favor of the resolution if an amendment could be added or a clause, because this is something that's happened to some of us in our area when taking Uber and Lyft as well.
All right, go for it, Donna.
All righty. Completely in agreement with everything regarding the language issues. Unfortunately, something that has happened to several of us as well related to taking Uber and Lyft is there was no communication because drivers have had severe hearing impairment as well. And so that is also something that is within the mix. And I don't know, to our resolutions gurus who are there present, if you can add, you know, a phrase as well, because this is definitely a larger fact that is also happening, the language and severe hearing impairment. In fact, just on a little anecdote, in ACB, we actually experienced that on a tour with a bus driver. And we didn't realize that until, and those of you who are on that tour remember that story and remember that happening. So whatever our resolutions gurus wish to insert, because the hearing impairment issue, we have no way of knowing as well. And there have been definite instances where we've had drivers with severe hearing impairment and they didn't know what we were trying to communicate. And thank
you. Donna, we hear what you're saying. And so just to let you know that that was spoke about when we were in discussion. And right. And so it, I'm sorry. I'm hearing somebody in the back. Sorry. And so we don't have that like specifically in there, but we do address it. And that's why it says in your preferred language, it talks about, you know, having something within the platform to be able to make that decision or make that selection. And so that
can you
that
reread is, that clause with that language, please?
Guillermo.
Because I'm on board. I just got to hear that part as so well.
It doesn't
hi Donna.
Okay.
Hey, you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So I hear what you're saying. I totally understand what you're saying. And I feel it. Okay. I realize that that is an issue. I'm going to consider it an unfriendly amendment just because of the fact that we do talk about textual communication in the resolution.
Okay.
And Steve also has a comment as far as that is concerned.
Well, and I did want to share, do the people who don't, because now you have, and you can educate me on this one, because I know there is now a dial option where people could dial in. So when people dial in, would the person taking their call be able to communicate all that textual? And I knew this would be controversial, by the way, so no worries.
this is Steve, Donna. I have a couple comments.
Yeah.
I think the resolution very clearly affects, you know, says clear communication. I would be opposed to a specific reference to the deaf because I have had three very successful rides with deaf drivers. And we were able to communicate by text. And I had no problem with that whatsoever. So I'd be opposed to a specific reference to deaf. I think the resolution already includes lots of language dealing with clear communication.
And so, Donna, I think right. As friendly as you are, I think that they're not saying that your amendment is friendly.
And I knew that they wouldn't. You know, that's okay. I would have no problem communicating via text either, but I know a lot of our brothers and sisters in the organization don't have that ability, which is why I was also thinking about them, because I'd find a way to communicate. I know others have had that struggle. So, but I knew this would be controversial. And, but I did need to express it because of those who have had problems. Thank you.
Donna, we can give a tickler to Gabe on this. And then when the resolution goes to ACB, if you want to participate in the discussion on this one, you can do that, you know.
Well, I think that if CCB is in support of what I'm saying, that you could bring it forward. And if CCB is not, then you have every right to not. You know, I knew the discussions would happen in committee, and I knew it would be controversial because of the specificity of those who are hard of hearing. And believe me, I'm very sensitive to the issues of those who have hearing impairment. But just like language, which I'm totally in support of, you need to be able to speak the language. But if you guys want to bring it forward to ACB, that's cool. And if you don't, that's cool, because folks have heard me speak up for our folks who have that struggle. So thank you.
Oh, and thank you, Donna. And I'm going to have to cut you off there, but I do want to say that remember that within the, you know, this is the resolution, but when we write a letter, we can be more specific. So, you know, there's always that.
No worries.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Donna. So, Steve, how much time are we at? All right. Anybody want to speak? Well, I can't tell. Was Donna in favor or not in favor? She just wanted to make a suggestion. So where are we at? Yeah.
May I clarify one thing just for informational purposes? Really quick.
Okay. If we can give Regina a mic because I cannot hear her.
Oh, I have one. I guess I wasn't speaking. May I clarify just a point of clarification? The list.
Okay. So wait, are you trying to give a clarification or are you asking for a point of clarification?
No, I'm trying to give one.
Oh, we don't need any more, I don't think.
That's about the apps because they've been updated. And
I'm sorry? Relevant.
The apps have been updated and it's relevant. So if you update your Lyft and Uber apps in the recent update, what you'll find is that they identify the deaf and hard of hearing drivers. Okay. And you have time to say that will work for you or not.
Yeah, that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, and so...
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you. Okay. So anybody want to speak? I'm thinking we're in opposition. Anybody want to speak in opposition to this?
Chair, this is Allison again. We have a couple of hands that have been, we only have one now. So should I lower them and then whenever you call on them?
Well, let's see if that person is in opposition.
Okay. This is telephone number ending in 405. You can unmute.
Neihardt, and I am in favor of the amendment and thank the author of the amendment.
The amendment's not being debated. Thank you, Dirk.
What indeed are we debating if not the amendment?
Out of order. I'm hearing a point of order in the back, so I got to overrule. All right. So... do we have anybody that wants to speak in opposition to the actual resolution, not to the amendment that was not friendly? All right. Hearing none. I don't hear any hands.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I do see a raised hand in Zoom.
Okay.
Okay, Sheila. Sheila.
All right, Sheila, are you in opposition?
I only have one problem with it, and that is that
people... Are you in opposition or in favor?
I'm in opposition unless something changes, and that something is the Uber phone line does not work well for everybody. People with blind shells can't use it because if they send a code, they have to call it back, and it's a long, icky process, and you don't get... Like Uber Assist doesn't always work. We need to make sure all this stuff works.
And Sheila, I thank you for that comment. However, that's a different point. That's a different issue completely. So maybe that's another resolution for next year. Thank you. All right. So shall we call for the question, friends? All right. So if anybody is opposed in the Zoom or in the room, raise your hand. If people are opposed to this resolution.
And one raised hand in Zoom, Madam Chair.
We have one raised hand, so I declare that this one passed. So, we're going to go ahead and we're going to jump to number 12, but Jeff is going to read that. So Jeff is going to move. So while Jeff is moving to go plug in his device. So you're going to come this way. And so while Jeff is doing that, why don't we stretch? Everybody put your hands way up in the air. Woohoo! Even on Zoom, stretch, stretch, stretch. It feels good, huh? Yeah. So, and I want to tell everybody a funny thing. So, you know, Lisa wants to do a door prize. So while she's getting ready for a door prize, I'm going to tell you really quick that this morning I asked my husband, my husband's here, by the way, guys. Yay. So I asked him, I said, hey, what does my shirt say? Because you know how that goes where you like, you know, don't know what your shirt says. I am wearing my shirt that says, I am not a hot mess. I am a spicy disaster. And it is perfect for Sunday morning. Yes. All right. So, Madam Eyeballs.
$25 Target gift card given by Bayview Chapter.
Oops. Bayview, folks. Woohoo. President Patty Nash.
Bayview brought it.
The winner is Debbie Cordero.
Yay, Debbie.
Are you in the room, Debbie?
Debbie is probably out there in the Zoom universe.
Zoom universe, Debbie? We will ensure that we get this card to you. Are we doing another one?
We have a raised hand. It could be her. Do you want me to check?
Yeah.
199, is this Debbie?
Yes. I am in the room. Thank you so much. What did I win?
A $25 Target gift card.
Please, thank you. Thank you, thank you. You folks are doing a great job.
You're welcome. We'll get Nicole to have that out in the mail to you, Debbie.
Thank you, Debbie. All right. So are you ready up here, Jeff?
So this is the author of this is Gene Lozano.
Yay, Gene!
Whereas state employees, both non-supervisory and management, are required to take various types of... I'm going to do one other quick thing and see if it makes a difference. Oh, I think it did. Okay, I'm going to start over. Whereas state employees, both non-supervisory and management, are required to take various types of training courses, most of which are now online, whereas these courses include such topics as sexual harassment and discrimination, and whereas no such course has ever been required that generally covers disability awareness, and whereas such a course would go far to remedy the absence of state employee awareness about the negative impact on state employees and all Californians with disabilities, including persons who are blind or have low vision, caused by the inaccessibility of state programs, now therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind and Hybrid Convention assembled the second day of April, 2023, that this organization seek regulations or legislation that would require state employees, both non-supervisory and management, to take a course, prescribed intervals in disability awareness that would cover all aspects of disability access for state facilities, programs, services, and activities. And the committee recommends a do pass.
So I'm gonna let Jeff run this one. Jeff, you wanna run this one?
Okay. So do we have, let's see if we have anybody in opposition either in the room or on Zoom. So Allison or whoever's running around in the room, do we have any opposition speakers for debate?
So far, I'm not seeing any raised hands in Zoom.
Thanks, Allison.
You're welcome.
Anybody in the room? Okay, I guess there isn't. So therefore, we will go to the what will constitute the vote. And it's just those of you now who are in opposition in the room or on Zoom, please raise your hands. And if there's less than 10 votes, we'll be done with this resolution. Allison, do we have any hands in, on the Zoom?
No raised hands, Tom.
Thank you. And how about in the room? All right. I declare this resolution passed. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, wow, that one was easy. Okay. And I know Gene, maybe you're going to listen to this afterwards. We want to thank you and just let you know that we are thinking of you and praying for you and you rock. Yes. Yes. All right. All right. So what number are we on now? Is it 6, 8? There we go. People are better than me. All right. Go for it, Guillermo.
Resolution 2023, 08 accessible pedestrian signals submitted by the San Francisco chapter. Whereas freedom of movement is a basic human right. Whereas an accessible pedestrian signal, APS, at an intersection provides essential safety and equal civil rights for all disabled pedestrians. And whereas Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990 mandates that state and local governments provide programmatic access for people with disabilities. And whereas the maintenance of roads and pedestrian pathways is a program of state and local government within the jurisdiction of the ADA. Whereas the recent court case involving ACB of New York versus New York City confirmed the applicability of the ADA to APS installations. And whereas 3 decades after the passage of the ADA, the vast majority of signalized intersections in California lack APS functionality. Whereas, with the exception of the city and county of San Francisco and other cities, if any, most communities in California appear to have no plans to bring their signalized intersections into substantial compliance with the ADA through the installation of APS functionality in the foreseeable future. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in hybrid convention assembled this second day of April, 2023. This organization demands that all signalized intersections in California must be brought into substantial compliance with the requirements of the ADA through the installation of APS functionality in the next 10 years. And be it further resolved, this organization calls on each of its chapters to advocate with city and county governments to revise their ADA implementation plans to include specific procedures and timetables for upgrading their signalized intersections with APS functionality in order to achieve substantial compliance with the ADA within 10 years by sending copies of this resolution to appropriate local officials, testifying at local government meetings, forming coalitions with other local disability rights and pedestrian safety advocacy groups, litigation, etc. And be it further resolved, this organization shall assist the advocacy efforts of its chapters by advocating with relevant state officials, forming coalitions with statewide disability rights and pedestrian safety advocacy groups, helping chapters to secure legal counsel, etc.
All right, guys, so we have a slight problem. So that is not the correct version of that. So Jeff is going to plug in over here. So while we're waiting for that, how about our ACB Capital chapter? Aren't they welcoming? Yes.
Yeah.
I know. You guys, wake up. Wake up. Thank you for welcoming us to what'd you call it, Pam? Cowtown, right?
Can we do a door prize while we're waiting?
Yeah. Oh, yes. We have Madam Eyeballs back in the room, and she's going to give us some door prizes.
$25 Starbucks gift card from the Glendale Burbank chapter.
Woo-hoo!
And I just left from talking to him, Kenneth Semyon. He just walked off. I'll take it up to him.
Oh, okay. Awesome. All right, let's do another one.
Another one?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me write his name on it. Okay, another one. Another one. Let's do Bluetooth speaker.
A Bluetooth speaker.
A t-shirt. And a Starbucks gift card.
All right.
$10 Starbucks gift card. So I don't know if he left already. Rick Plath.
Yay.
Are you still here, Rick? I think he left. Okay, we'll get it sent to him.
How are we doing over here, guys? Another door prize?
Another door prize?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Let's see. So let's do $25 Amazon gift card.
Lisa, do we have two $25 Amazon gift cards that we could put together?
Gosh, let's see.
Let's do it.
How about a $25 Amazon gift card and
a $25 Target gift card.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're speaking our language.
For this one, I have to really shuffle. Like shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. So shuffle 10 times. And let's go. Yeah. Steve Mendelsohn.
Oh, yeah.
Did Judy and Steve leave already? Oh. We'll send it to them. We'll send it to them.
Well, maybe they're still here, but just not here.
Yeah, maybe I'll go find them. Okay, I'll go look for them.
And as we're still working, let's give away another door prize.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, let's do it. How about we do something else kind of exciting? And
how about a Retro Swag sweatshirt and a $25 Obese gift card?
Oh, you get to wear your CCB swag and go have some an Applebee's nachos
with the bourbon shake and the bourbon chicken and the Oreo milkshake.
Oh yeah, there
like
you
the
go.
The song says
yes. we're hungry. Yeah. Done.
And the winner is, she just walked out the door, but I swear this is completely random. I will accept this on behalf of Liv Presley.
Congratulations, Mama Presley.
Mama Presley.
Yeah. All right. So, all right, everybody. So it looks like our friends, Gabe and Jeff, are ready up here.
Okay, this is 2023-8, Accessible Pedestrian Signals by San Francisco Chapter. Whereas freedom of movement is a basic civil right, and whereas an accessible pedestrian signal, APS, provides essential safety and equal civil rights for all pedestrians with disabilities, and whereas Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990 mandates that state and local governments provide programmatic access for people with disabilities, and whereas the maintenance of roads and pathways is a program of state and local government within the jurisdiction of the ADA, and whereas the recent court case involving ACB of New York versus New York City reaffirmed the applicability of the ADA to APS installations, and whereas more than three decades after the passage of the ADA, the vast majority of signalized intersections in California still lack APS functionality, and whereas with the exception of the city and county of San Francisco and a few other cities, most communities in California appear to have no plans to bring their signalized intersections into substantial compliance with the ADA through the installation of APS functionality in the foreseeable future. Now, therefore, be it resolved, et cetera, and I'm going to skip that stuff, that this organization demands that all signalized intersections in California must be brought into substantial compliance with the requirements of the ADA through the installation of APS functionality within a reasonable period of time. And be it further resolved that this organization calls upon each of its chapters to advocate with city and county governments to revise their ADA implementation plans to include specific procedures and timetables for upgrading their signalized intersections with APS functionality in order to achieve substantial compliance with the ADA within a reasonable period of time. And be it further resolved that this advocacy may include such activities as sending copies of this resolution to appropriate local officials, testifying at local government meetings, forming coalitions with other local disability rights and pedestrian safety advocacy groups, or the use of litigation or structured negotiations. And be it further resolved that this organization shall assist the advocacy efforts of its chapters to the extent possible. And be it further resolved that this organization continue to advocate with Caltrans for installation of APS at all signalized intersection within the state's jurisdiction. And the committee recommends to do pass. And I am going to leave. Thank you very much.
And may I say, Okay. And may I say that that is an example of how we, as people who are blind or have low vision, can adapt and problem solve.
Yes. All right. So,
Jeff AR. All right. So, do we have anybody? So, we're going to start the debate. Do we have anybody that wants to speak in opposition? Please. You have a question, Karen?
I do.
Okay, can somebody get a mic?
I got a microphone on my hand. Yes, Karen Trotter, just with a quick question.
Right.
I just came in as this was starting, and so I heard Mr. AI Adam, and then I heard Jeff, and I thought that AI Adam said a time frame of within 10 years.
Yeah, so the
I one didn't that, hear Jeff say that.
Yeah, so the one that was played was wrong. It was
so we're not doing within 10 years. We're just saying in a reasonable amount of time.
Yes.
Summer. Okay.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so ignore Adam. Adam was a liar. Adam was
wrong. We got Adam the wrong file.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes,
it wasn't Adam's fault. Adam only read what he was given.
Yes. And so with that being said, do we have anybody that would like to stand up and speak in opposition? Karen's in opposition? Oh. Oh. Anybody in Zoom in opposition raising their hand that would like to speak in opposition, Miss Allison?
No, ma'am, not seeing any raised hands.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And are we lying? Is there a raised hand?
No.
What did she say? Oh, I thought you said, whoa, like, oh, wait, there's one. Okay. Sorry.
No, sorry. No, I said okay. Nothing.
I'm blind and blonde. All right, friends. It is. It's a very, very, very interesting combination. That is for sure. And so I want to thank our friends from the San Francisco chapter for putting this forth. Yes, it's very, very awesome. It's an important thing. And on top of that, so we're going to go. If there's anybody opposed to APSs at our corners, go ahead and raise your hand and zoom in the room. And maybe we will tell everybody what your names are. And I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm being funny. Are you in opposition? He says, oh yeah, right. All right, do we have any hands in the room? I don't hear any hands, so maybe that means there's no hands.
None in Zoom either.
All right, so I declare that PS is for all. All right. So Guillermo, we're going to go ahead and do number 9. Hold on real quick. So we're going to do number 9. Our 10 and 11 are gratitude ones. 9 and 10 are the gratitude ones. So we're going to skip to 11. And then Lisa, would you try to make it possible, or somebody make it possible, we can get a few hotel staff and volunteers in the room, and then we're going to do 9 and 10 together. Sound good? Well,
just a couple.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking exactly. Yes. Yeah. All right. So we're going to go ahead and do number 11. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Amy is fantastic too.
Resolution 2023-11, coverage of needles for insulin injections. Author, California Diabetics in Action. Whereas, in order to avoid significant health problems such as vision loss, loss of limbs, and organ failure, insulin-dependent diabetics must inject insulin in the prescribed dosage and at the times required. Whereas many blind and visually impaired insulin-dependent diabetics, as well as elderly and other insulin-dependent diabetics, are on a fixed income. And whereas in order for insulin injections to work in the body effectively, it must be injected with a needle or pen, which may not be covered by Medicare and other insurances. And whereas The primary option to get the dosages of insulin into the body is with the use of a needle. Whereas, because of the cost of the needles patients have to incur in order to inject insulin as often as several times a day, many low-income diabetics, including persons who are blind or have low vision, reuse needles or skip necessary dosages, thus jeopardizing their health. And whereas, several municipalities throughout the United States provide needles free of charge to individuals addicted to opioids to control the spread of HIV and other similar diseases, now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind, in hybrid convention assembled this second day of April, 2023. This organization support legislation that would require California healthcare insurers to cover the cost of needles and other mediums of injecting insulin, and be it further resolved that in order to seek federal legislation applicable to Medicare and all health insurers, copy of this resolution be submitted to the American Council of the Blind for action at its 2023 convention.
And the... What's that? Oh, so we think this may be incorrect as well. So we're gonna stand by on this one. And Guillermo, let's go ahead and play 9 and 10. And we have here in the room, Lisa, you want to? Oh.
Did anybody else that was there on that the night we discussed this resolution recall, does that sound correct or does it sound like we have the wrong one?
No. Okay.
Yeah, I thought so too. It's a little bit different than what I was reading along with here. So
I can
read it. You guys will have to suffer a little bit. I'm sorry, but I can read
well,
it.
Well, you know what? What we can do is we can do is Lisa back in the room?
Yeah.
I'm okay. Here. So Lisa, we're gonna go ahead and do 9 and 10. So Lisa, we want to announce who's here.
So we have here Donna, who has been our banquet captain for the last few nights. And I have two volunteers, one that has been our mic runner, and I'm so sorry, ma'am, I don't know your name. Lori. We have Lori, and then I have one of our guide dog relief volunteers in the hallway, and she's actually helping somebody with the dog right now. But I think she might be coming in, and I unfortunately don't know her name. Is that Sharon?
Kathy, one of them.
It's either Shannon or Kathy.
All right. So, Guillermo.
Resolution 2023-09, Hotel Appreciation. Whereas the staff and management have gone above and beyond to make this 2023 convention of the California Council of the Blind a successful and memorable one. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in hybrid convention assembled this second day of April, 2023. This organization thanks and commends the staff and management of Arden West Hilton Sacramento Hotel for the outstanding efforts in hosting this convention.
That sounds right to me.
So for each of you three that are here, I have a $10 Starbucks gift card for
you. Beautiful. And then let's go ahead and play the second one, the number 10.
Resolution 2023, 10, Volunteer Appreciation. Whereas the first hybrid convention of the California Council of the Blind would not have been anywhere near as successful as it has been without the outstanding efforts of each and every volunteer, now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in hybrid convention assembled this second day of April, 2023. But this organization expresses its profound appreciation to each and every volunteer for their assistance at the 2023 California Council of the Blind Convention.
All right. So I think we're all in agreement here. So if there's anyone opposed, you might want to sit under your table.
I hear somebody.
I hear Karen asking to do a comment.
Just a quick comment. I specifically want us to acknowledge her name is Debbie, and she was in the restaurant this morning. Somebody called out, and she was incredible trying to help everyone. Yes.
Gay Debbie. And I want to thank Amy because Amy is super awesome too. She's been one of our wait staff, our servers during our lunches and dinners and such. Oh, Pam needs a mic. And we want to thank Tossie and Misty. And Anthony, Mario, Marshall. Did anybody bring my friend Pam a mic?
Okay. I want to thank Jamie, because Jamie's been running around here like she ain't got good sense either. Yeah. And she actually helped yesterday very well in Kahlua, and I really appreciate that. So I want to thank Jamie.
Yay, Jamie.
Yes, and we will be sure to get copies of this resolution. Like we said, the resolutions will go to the hotel to thank all of the staff here. So, they've been great. All of the volunteers, including our own members, like, Jamie and others that have stepped up to help. I know Nikki has been helping people. So,
yes, Nikki.
We've had a lot of our own members that have stepped up and gone way above and beyond. So, we thank everybody here that has helped.
This is Christy. I want to also thank Patrick.
Forget about him.
For the stuff that
yes.
And also my husband who stepped in on help.
Yes.
Ed Crespin, I know.
Who helped out with the Yellow Brick Road project on Saturday. Thank you.
Egg, yeah.
But
I think so. It's not SpongeBob's best friend, Patrick. It's Yeah.
That's
true. You guys are both Mr. and Mrs. Thomas. Go figure.
Yeah.
So therefore, I'm going to go ahead and declare that these two resolutions be passed.
Chair.
Yay.
Madam Chair. It's Allison. We have a raised hand in Zoom whenever you
Please
want to recognize.
Go ahead, Allison, and then give you.
Let me know. Everybody
up there. Okay, thank you. Margie, you may unmute and talk.
Thank you. I know the resolution has passed, but I want to give three special shout outs. I want to give a shout out to Shannon and Kathy for coordinating and managing the relief area. Without that, we wouldn't have people helping us. So thank you, Shannon and Kathy. And we can never forget our dear friend and family member, Eric Skivers, who has been here and helping out.
Oh,
thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Margie.
I have another one I was going to ask. Is everybody up there blind? This is Diane Deutsch. I'd like to shout out to the puppy raisers who took care of the relieving area when we took our dogs out. And if we missed something, picked up after them. They were awesome.
Yay.
Meet and greet was absolutely fantastic.
Awesome.
The guide dogs, our guide dogs, love the puppies.
Awesome. And we're going to go ahead and stop right here. So thank you, everybody. We can shout out all of our thank yous from the rooftop later.
Right.
Maybe Donna won't like that. I don't know. So I'm going to hand it over to my friend here, Gabe, and Jeff is left. Let's all say thank you, Jeff.
If you have the edited version that we did. Oh yeah. Yeah. If you want to come up here and read off my device, you can do that.
That way
we're not going to subject everybody here to my reading. So bear with us a moment while we get Mr. Steve up to the front here.
I haven't read this before, but we'll see how we go here. Resolution 2023-11. Coverage of needles for insulin injections. Author, California Diabetics in Action. Whereas, in order to avoid significant health problems such as vision loss, loss of limbs, and organ failure, insulin-dependent diabetics must inject insulin in the prescribed dosage and at the times required. And whereas such injections must often be made several times a day, and whereas many insulin-dependent diabetics have little to no income, and whereas in order for insulin injections to work in the body effectively, they must be injected with a needle or pin, which may not be covered by insurances. And whereas because of the cost of needles, many diabetics reuse needles, putting them at risk of additional disease or skip dosages altogether, and whereas several municipalities throughout the United States provide needles free of charge to other populations to control the spread of HIV or other diseases, now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in hybrid convention assembled this second day of April, 2023, that this organization support legislation that would require all California healthcare insurers to cover the cost of needles and other means of injecting insulin. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be submitted to the American Council of the Blind for action at its 2023 convention. End of resolution.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Steve. And the committee recommends a do pass. And I want to thank the California Diabetics in Action. Yay. Woo-hoo. All right. So in opposition, do we have anybody that wants to speak in opposition? Let's start the debate. Karen has another question. Karen, all of your questions. I'm kidding. Oh, Karen, did you steal some of my triple shots?
Just a quick question, Karen Trotter. So it said needles and other means. Was there any discussion? Are we talking pins? Are we talking, you know, pumps? I mean, it could go pretty far here. So I just wondered if there was discussion on that.
Gabe, I'm going to defer to you because I was actually at a concert when they were resolving all this.
So am I stepping back into my substitute co-chair position? There was a discussion. Yes, it is pens. And I know pens were discussed or mentioned in that resolution. But I think it said, you know, needles and other means just to be able to cover whatever means somebody might use.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. I am not opposed.
Very good. Okay, so do we have anyone in opposition in the room first? Any hands? I would like to speak in opposition. Maybe let me clarify. All right, do we have anybody on Zoom that wants to speak in opposition?
Madam Chair, we have a raised hand of ending in 405.
All right, Dirk,
my
I believe.
Heart. I took my heart, and does it require an amendment? The last amendment we did not have a vote on, but I want to eliminate the word no in little or no income. Nobody has no income, not even a prisoner, and little income is proper and sufficiently descriptive.
Okay, Dirk, so in the room, I'm hearing in the back Christy Cressman, who is the president of CDA, and I'm thinking that you're taking that as a, not a friendly amendment, correct? All right, thank you. Thank you, Dirk, though.
You are saying that. I'm not saying that. To my mind, it is a friendly amendment, properly characterizing the proper wish of the sponsor.
It's not true that nobody has anything. They may get something somewhere. All right, so with that being said, because that was just an amendment, do we have anyone that wants to speak in opposition of the resolution? All right, I hear none. Allison, do we have anybody on Zoom?
Someone, Margie just raised her hand, so.
All right, Margie.
I have a procedural question.
Sure.
I'm in agreement with Dirk. Regardless of, because I'm in agreement with Dirk, I don't think there's anybody with no income. And I think it's important to put things forth that are factual and accurate. As I recall, and I don't know who our parliamentarian is, but I'm sure they will correct me. If it is not a friendly amendment, it could be made as a motion to amend. Is that correct, parliamentarian person?
I believe she misunderstood.
Ms. Dave, yes, technically, if it's not taken as a friendly amendment, yes, it could be move to have it as an amendment.
I would like to move to withdraw from this resolution the part.
Oh my goodness.
The two words, no income.
All right, so we have a motion on the floor from Margie to amend and delete the words no income, correct? So little income?
Actually, it would be to no, wouldn't it be? So it would just say little income?
Yeah,
that's so little. Fine. Little, mm-hmm. A minimum?
No income, it would be removing the little to no, so it would just, or the to no.
To no then.
Oh, so Christy has a suggestion here, Margie, in the room. Of
I'm minimal. Open. But wait, hang on. We need a second on my amendment before we can discuss it, don't we?
Yeah. Do we have a second?
I know Dirk will.
Who was that in the room? Diane Deutsch seconded. All right. Thank you. We got a second.
Well, and yeah, if we can get Christy a mic so that she can speak.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
If Margie would agree to Christie's, it may be a friendly amendment. We may not have to have any debate or.
I could withdraw my motion if that's the case. We'll see.
Right.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Let's get Christy a mic.
So, hello?
Yeah, we're waiting on Christy to get a mic.
I have a mic. This is Christy.
Oh, Christy, you got to eat the mic a little bit, babe.
So I would take minimal. Not everyone has income. People are homeless. People are not all on SSI or whatever. So I'm sorry that you guys are debating this, but I would accept minimal.
So how about this, Gabe? Can you read it with the word minimal? And so Margie can hear and see if that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it would say, whereas many insulin dependent diabetics have minimal income.
How is that, Margie?
I like it a lot. I withdraw my motion.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So we change and thank you and say minimal.
Yes. And thank you, Margie, for keeping me honest and on my toes. I appreciate you.
Oh, that's a big job. It's full time. No, I will mute.
It's a full time job with the crazy blind lady. All right. So now shall we call for the question on this last resolution? All right. So anybody that's opposed, raise your hand in the room and on Zoom if you do not want this resolution to pass. Do, 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 do. And I got Gabe over here finishing it off. All right, Allison, do we have any hands?
No, we do not.
All right. How about, do we have any hands in the room? And we did it, guys. Yay. We made it through resolutions. Oh my goodness. Wasn't this fun? I don't know. My watch is dead.
At the tone, the time will be, it's 12:13.
12:13, everybody.
Chair. Right,
we only have 5 more items on our agenda.
72. 32. All right. We're kidding. Oh, look, we sicked out Lisa up here. So how many door prizes do we have left, Lisa?
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And oops. I have.
Give it to item 10.
Yeah, that's the one I'm waiting on. I got about 12.
Okay.
All right, let's
wait. About 10, 12, and but still a bunch of Bluetooth speakers.
Let's look here for me.
Yeah, but I want to do that one that you just said. Can we do that one right now?
Yeah, I think so. Babe, are we okay with that?
Before.
I'm doing it real quick.
Yeah, let's do like 3 of them.
Okay, 2, 3 of them.
Okay, so this door prize, I said it in a meeting yesterday. I don't want to give away, but I'm going to give it, and I'm going to hope the wheel hits on a good name.
I'll look at the wheel for you.
Yeah.
So this door prize was donated by Pam Metz. It is a candle wax warmer and a lot of candle wax that smells so good.
I'm right here, Lisa.
This is like walking on sunshine, you think.
The winner is Constance Gressmer. I said that wrong, I know.
Constance.
Is Constance here?
It doesn't sound like that.
Okay.
Oh, she's virtual.
Okay, then we will. You don't want to leave it with me to send. we'll get it sent out to her. Congratulations, Constance. Then we have, also donated by Pam Metz, a burgundy color insulated tote. It's kind of like a lunch bag. It's probably about medium size. It would probably fit a good lunch and a whole lot of other things, some snacks. So let's see who wins this one. I don't think this person wants to take any more bags off the on the airplane, but it's Guillermo Robles.
Hey, I heard Guillermo has an empty suitcase.
You just want another bag to take on the plane.
I heard Guillermo has an empty suitcase to take home.
I heard Guillermo already has lots of baggage. I'm kidding. Guillermo likes lunch.
Guillermo, you want an insulated lunch bag with ice packs that Pam Metz donated.
Guillermo needs an insulated lunch bag for that long commute he has to go to work. Yeah, right.
And let's do a CCB sweatshirt, a $10 Starbucks gift card, and a Bluetooth speaker. I think he left already too. Chris Fendrick. Yeah, he left. Chris. Okay. That's an easy one to get him to. Maybe I'll take a drive. More? Or?
I'm doing one.
One more?
Yeah.
Okay. Chris Fendrick. So let's do a good one. How about a $25 Starbucks gift card? Let's do a $25 Starbucks gift card and a $25 Applebee's. That's a good date night to me.
Right.
And both of those, one was given by Bayview Chapter, the other by Active Blind Inland Valley. Charlene Ornelas. Are you on Zoom, Charlene?
I think she's
been on Zoom.
She was virtual this weekend.
Yeah. We'll make sure that we get those to you, Charlene. Congratulations.
Yay.
Yay, Charlene.
Hey, right. Are we ready to go back to business here for a moment?